And Jesus Christ is admonishing you and I to be aware, to know the scriptures, to not abstain from reading God's word, to not grow weary and refuse to get on our knees and to pray.
This is Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge, a ministry dedicated to reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and challenging believers to reach their maximum potential in Christ. In what has since come to be known as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gave us an example of how to pray. But it wasn't just an example. It includes guidelines we can use during prayer. This message is entitled The Lord's Prayer, and here's Bill Rudge.
You see, I just came out of a time of prayer and fasting, evaluating my goals, evaluating what the Lord wants to do through my life and ministry, where He wants to send me for the next year. That way I have peace and confidence that no matter wherever I go, God will protect me, God will provide, God will fulfill what He's called me to do. And I looked up many scriptural examples of prayer to find out exactly what God wants our prayers to be like. And as I examined all these prayers in the Old and the New Testament, I came to the conclusion that the very example Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, which is known as the Lord's Prayer, is a very good basic formula, if you want to call it that, or example of what our prayers should consist of. And so what I want to do is just share a few of these concepts very briefly to give you an idea that as you begin to seek God's Word, which hopefully you'll begin to do if you're already not, as you begin to seek God in prayer, you will realize that we don't have to, you know, pray some special flowery prayer. What God is looking at is for you and I to pray from the heart. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father is a very intimate term there. We can know this God who the Jews were afraid to even say His most holy name. We can now address Him as Father, Abba Father. We can have a personal, intimate relationship with this God of the Bible. And so He wants us to know Him in this very personal, intimate way, which art in heaven. We discover His location. This God, although His presence fills the earth, His glory at this time is manifest in heaven. And one day, it's going to be manifest throughout the whole earth. So we're praying and addressing our Father who art in heaven, okay? And we know there's one mediator between man and God, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. We can boldly enter into His presence because of Jesus Christ. Now, then we go on and we see, hallowed be thy name. Let thy name be holy. If you could catch a glimpse of the awesomeness and the holiness of this God of the Bible, you would fall on your knees. I've been doing some research into the awesomeness of God. And we see in Revelation and Isaiah and numerous scriptures that when this Jesus Christ returns, the great and mighty men, the great and mighty kings, the most powerful men of the earth, when He returns, will hide in caves and under rocks and beg them to fall on them and hide them from His presence. Something else the Lord taught me just recently that's most interesting is when we walk in willful sin, when Israel walked in willful sin, the Bible said that God hid His face from them and turned His ears and removed His presence. So when you and I are walking in willful rebellion before God, our lives are not restored through Jesus Christ, we're walking in rebellion, God's not hearing our prayers. He's turned His back. He's removed His presence. He's turned and closed His ears, and He's hidden His face. And the only way for that to be restored is to give our lives to Jesus Christ, or for believers in Jesus Christ, for us to get our hearts and lives right with Him, that He can begin to hear our prayers and restore His presence and turn His face to us and begin to intervene in our lives. It's amazing, you know, all through the Old Testament, even in the New, they want to continue in their sin. They want to wallow in their idolatry and their spiritual adultery, but they beg for God to give them His presence. They beg for God to turn His ear and hear. They beg for God not to hide His face, but God continues to do so. And what's amazing is in Isaiah and Revelation, when God finally does reveal His presence and reveal His face to them, what do? Those that are unrepentant, They hide in the caves and under rocks and beg them because His presence, His awesomeness is so overwhelming that we cannot stand in that presence. So we've got to get a glimpse of the holiness of God. I was dealing with a pastor that is involved in adultery. And I said, if you could just catch a glimpse of the awesomeness of our God, then you would fall on your knees in repentance and walk away from that. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, one of the prayers I pray in my prayer and fasting is, Lord, let your will be done in my life, my family, and my ministry as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's perfect will is being accomplished. But one thing mars it on earth, that is sin. And that is why sin will one day be eradicated. And when sin is eradicated, and those who continue to reject Christ, God has no alternative. But for Him to have His will done throughout the universe, those who continue in sin, those who refuse to give their life to Jesus Christ, God has no alternative. They sometimes say, a loving God can't send a person to hell. A loving God can't throw someone into the lake of fire. A loving God who is holy and just has no alternative. And a loving, holy God has got to deal with the infection of sin and ban those from eternity. And that simply is what it all means, is that we've got to get our hearts restored before God. So let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. One day, every knee shall bow. One day, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's inevitable. One day that shall happen. But what I want my heart to be is, God, let your will be done in my life. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. I want to be yielded and broken and available that God can perform his will in me as his will is accomplished in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's just meeting our human needs. That if we're walking in obedience to Him, He promises it to give us His provision. He will meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs. Provide our needs. Maybe not our greeds. So then we go on and it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Think about that. There's a qualification there. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, my missing the mark. Forgive us those, but he goes on, as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us, those who do things to us that are not right. You want to know what the two most destructive emotions are, people? The two most destructive emotions are, number one is guilt, and number two is revenge. They will eat your physical health. They will eat your mental stability. These two things, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Guilt, forgive us our debts. Our guilt will be removed. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, my guilt's removed. No longer do I have guilt. No longer is one of the most destructive emotions controlling my life, because I am free from that guilt. Oh, Eastern religions, I've studied them. I've studied various cult and occult groups. They say there is no sin, there is no guilt, but I want to tell you something. They still walk under that guilt. They try to mask that. They try to hide behind a smoke screen. They try to conceal it and cover it up, but they still walk in guilt, although they deny there is no sin and no need for a Savior. The only answer to our human dilemma is Jesus Christ. And so we have our guilt removed through Jesus Christ. We have our guilt removed, one of the most destructive emotions. We can have it removed, and we can have physical and emotional health from that. The second one is revenge. And we do what the second part of this says, as we forgive our debtors. Not only do I receive God's forgiveness and am freed from guilt, but I now forgive those who trespass and debt and sin against me. So now revenge is removed, and the two most destructive emotions, guilt and revenge, I'm freed from. I'm freed to walk in emotional stability and mental health and physical health and well-being. And lead us not into temptation. The Lord cannot tempt us to evil. But we do not want to be led or set up or allow Satan to entice us. And so we're praying for him to not allow us to be neutralized or rendered ineffective or to be led into temptation and defeated. God will test us. He will allow us to face obstacles and difficulties, but He will not tempt us, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Do not let Satan sift us like wheat the way he wanted to do with Peter. Do not let him be victorious in our lives. But, O Lord, let us be victorious. Let us overcome temptation. Let us walk in victory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Jesus Christ is admonishing you and I to be aware, to know the Scriptures, to not abstain from reading God's Word, to not grow weary and refuse to get on our knees and to pray, and using the Lord's Prayer as our focus, to honor the Lord, to catch His holiness, to know Him intimately, to trust Him to meet our needs, to forgive those that sin against us, but to allow Him to forgive us, and to walk in victory and overcome temptation, and to look forward like John said, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Amen. He is coming, you know, and at a time when we'll least expect it. Will we be ready? We will be if we're fervent in prayer and hiding His Word in our hearts. You know, some of Bill's messages, like this one, are too short for this time slot. Others are too long, and some material must be edited out. Before we go, we have time for a couple previously edited excerpts from a message called Adventures in Missions. And once again, here's Bill Rudge.
And God moved in a tremendous way. I remember I had to have an interpreter up at the front of the altar, okay? And you have these people with Mongolian features because where I was at, it bordered on Tibet and China and Nepal and Mongolia, and most of them had Mongolian features. So I felt like Genghis Khan, you know, addressing the hordes of the Mongolians. And they would line up, hundreds of them, for me to pray with them through an interpreter. But I had to have them, you know, right here in my face because there were hundreds of people around praising the Lord, you know, and worshiping and praying and seeking the Lord. And they had to get right in my face about an inch away, and they had to almost scream into my face, you know, with spittle and everything else all over you, and tell me what their situation was. And I didn't know what their problem was until the interpreter would interpret it in my ear. And I found out many of them had pneumonia, and they had throat cancer and lung cancer. And one guy who smelled so atrocious that I almost began to gag, but God helped me to bring it under control. He said, I've got tuberculosis. And numerous other contagious diseases were right in my face. And I said, God, there's nothing I can do. It's already too late for me, so I'm trusting in your protection. The same way Jesus walked among the lepers, I walked among the leper colony, you know, with their noses off and their hands missing and their feet missing and crawling around on their knees, and I saw the hurt and the pain. I want to tell you something. They are people just like you and I. They are not non-entities. And as Jesus trusted the Lord, and as He knew that He would not get sick because of the Holy Spirit's protection, so too I trusted the Lord's protection, and He is faithful. Are there inconveniences? Definitely. I mean, I got bit by so many mosquitoes, they're worried about me getting AIDS and malaria down in Haiti. In India, you know, they didn't have showers. All you have is a little bucket of water and a cup, and you're dirty and dingy, and my throat was always sore, and my eyes always burned from the exhaust fumes and from the dust. Karen one time had to wear a little mask over her face, and it was pitch black from all the stuff she was inhaling. And they usually have the lights going out. You know, you gotta oftentimes use lanterns or candles. And one time I was on 13 different flights, 45 hours in the air, 40 hours in airports, 40 hours on buses, taxis, and jeeps, and over 20 hours on trains. And you don't realize the cost, the stress, the situation you go through, the cost you pay physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But I want to tell you something. It is well worth the cost.
You've been listening to Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge. Learn more about this ministry at billrudge.org or write us at Living Truth for Today, P.O. Box 108, Sharon, Pennsylvania, 16146. Please pray for this ministry as we strive to reach out in Jesus' name. And thank you for listening.